the book of Colossians this morning, chapter 3. In the New Testament, the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 15 and 16 are going to be our text this morning. I'll read these two verses aloud as you read silently. That's Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16 this morning. Please stand to your feet this morning in honor of God's word. As we read the word of God together, Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have on Sunday. I just love Sundays. It's your day. It's the Lord's day. And Father, we've come to have our hearts refreshed, challenged, convicted if needed. So God, please work in our lives and hearts today. Accomplish that through our pastor this morning. Touch his body. Help him. Father, but more important, fill him with thy Holy Spirit power for this task. And then, Father, I'll ask one more thing. If there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that today they'd trust him to save them from their sin, God, please bless today in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me give you a word of quick advice. If you ever have a sore throat and a scratchy throat and you're a public speaker, do not take cold ease. I got some of those throat lozenges called cold ease. I popped one in my mouth a few minutes ago and it made my tongue go numb. So we're not having tongue service, okay? So if I start speaking like I'm speaking another language, you have to understand that. My mouth is numb now, so I'm going to have to try to... Which may means I spit on people, so just everything could get really ugly here for a few minutes. So bear with me until my mouth starts working again today. Now then, if you have an electronic device of some kind, a cell phone, a pager, a beeper, iPod, iPhone, I am, you are not, whatever it is, turn it to vibrate or turn it to off so it does not go off in the service. If it does, someone will come down the aisle, get you by the hair, and drag you out in front of everybody. So help us with that this morning. We would appreciate that. Also ask you to sit very still and listen carefully. Now, last Sunday, we began what we'll call a little mini-series of sermons, messages, based on three-letter, simple little word. And that word is let. Last week, we talked to you about let it go. Let all bitterness, and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking with all malice be put away from you, the Bible says. And the way you let that bitterness and anger and all that stuff go is be a kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Friend, look at me. If you learn to forgive like you've been forgiven, you can let all that other junk go. And it sounds so simplistic, but that's the wonder about the Bible. The answers are simple, but they are right and they work. Now, we got another series of lets this morning. There's two of them here in Colossians 3. I need you to keep your Bible open and follow with me. It says, verse 15, and let the peace of God, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Then it says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. By the way, those two are related to each other. The peace of God you need to let rule in your heart comes from the word of Christ dwelling in your life. But now listen to me this morning. Why is it so many people don't have any peace in their hearts? When the Bible says, just let it be, and that's what the subject is this morning, let it be. I think that's a hymn too, isn't it? Let it be. The Bible says it. It's just let the peace of God rule in your heart. Oh, yeah, I'm just supposed to have peace. That's the way it is, huh? Yeah, just like you're supposed to let bitterness go. Just like you're supposed to let anger go and all that. Just let it happen. Let it be. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So then why is it so few people have peace in their hearts today? Why is it some people have peace, but it doesn't last? It's very temporary. And yet others try to find peace the wrong way. Example, rioting for peace. That was one I never understood in the 60s. We want to get rid of this war, so we're going to have a riot. So they rioted for peace. I thought, now, I was a teenager then, but I thought, even that doesn't make sense to me. They used to come down from, I was living in Southern California in the Costa Mesa at the time, and they would come down from UCLA and Irvine and UC Irvine and those colleges and ask us to come up and help them riot for peace. Because they wanted teenagers to come in because we were idiots and we would start fights and start trouble and they could get the peaceful demonstration to break out into a riot and then get it on the news and show the, you know, the man clubbing people and stuff like that when they were, anyway. But the point was, they rioted for peace. I mean, if you're, do I have to explain it to you? You got it, right? If you want peace, you don't riot for peace. That doesn't make any sense. There are people who are trying to find peace, but they're looking the wrong place. Now, folks, look at me. You can shave your head and wear orange pajamas and sit on a mountain somewhere and drink funny tea if you want to and try to find inner peace. And you may get it for a while, but it isn't going to last. See, when the Bible says, look, let the peace of God rule in your heart. The word rule means just what it says. A king sitting upon a throne. Now, when a king assumed the position of royalty, he had that position for life. That's why the Bible used the word rule. It didn't say let have a little peace in your life. No, no, it said let the peace of God rule in your life for a lifetime. This peace of which is spoken here in the Bible is supposed to last all your life. Now look, that means in the mountaintop experiences and in the depth of your darkest valley. When things are really good and when they are really bad, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, always. Does that mean I'm always happy? It didn't say let the happiness of God. It said let the peace of God. Peace in the Bible means no conflict. Well, I don't have any peace in my life. It didn't say that. It said let the peace of God rule in your heart. You may have conflicts in your life, but if you have peace in your heart, the conflicts of your life can be dealt with. You can't resolve all the conflicts of life, people. It's just not going to happen. There are people who got out of bed this morning with your name on their lips, and they're looking for you. They're going to find you, and it's those people who get in front of you and drive really, really, really slow at what they do. I mean, there are people, ladies and gentlemen, you're not ever going to make peace with people. Not everybody. Now, some people, and as the Bible says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men, but that means it starts with you, not with them. And so let the peace of God rule in your heart. Look here, if you let the peace of God rule in your heart, no matter what you face in life, you still have peace in here. Nothing's changed this. Because look at me, that's the only thing you can control anyway. You go to work and you're happy and you're enjoying your day and everything is great and you had a good hair day and it's all good. And you go to work and then somebody gets right up in your face the moment that you get there. Either a customer because you work with the public or a fellow employee or your employer. And what happens? There goes everything. It's gone. Like the lady was asked one time, do you ever wake up grumpy? She said, yeah, but he has to get up every morning anyway. I mean, truth is there's some things you just can't deal with. There are some things you can't control. There's some things you cannot change no matter what you do. But if you let the peace of God rule in your hearts, that's permanent. The idea is like a king who had a throne for a lifetime, you let the peace of God spend a lifetime in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now listen to me. If you don't look in the right source, and that's what verse 16 is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. If you'll trust the word of God to give you the peace of God, show you where it is so you can get it from the right source, then you can let it reign. Otherwise, look at me, you're going to try all kinds of crazy things. When there was days in my life when I'd gotten away from God in my life and wasn't living for the Lord, And I started experimenting with religions. I tried Eastern religions, chanting mantras and transcendental meditation. You sit in a dark room, you burn a candle, close your eyes. You say a one or two syllable word over and over again, and then you just take it to the inside of your soul. And as you chant that word, you begin to go to the depths of your inner being. I got some of the best naps, I'm telling you what. I don't know if I transcended anybody's meditation, but I got some great naps out of that one, pal. And the guy would say, how'd it go? Oh, it was wonderful. I feel so rested. I was at peace. I went to sleep. And unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, I tried some pretty stupid things. Some people try the herbal remedies. And you know what I'm talking about. To find the peace. Some people try to find the bottom of a bottle. Some people try to find an accomplishment or achievement. Some people try to think, you know, and most people live for that thing where if I could just get away from everything for a while, I'd be all right. Well, you got to come back. I mean, eventually, right? Some people live for the cotton-picking weekends. Monday's coming! Now what? We go to retreats, and we have them. But eventually, you don't get to retreat. You have to advance. You have to go back to it again, and the retreat's over, and what do? You go back to your life. Let the peace of God. If you don't get peace from the right source, it won't last. It won't help you. You'll just keep trying things. And look at me. And eventually, you're going to run out of stuff, get discouraged, and wind up one of these pinch-faced people who look like they got baptized in grapefruit juice. I mean, they're just not happy about life at all. You know, I don't try that Bible thing. Well, what you got ain't working, Spanky, because you don't look real happy either. So, come on. See, if you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, then you'll know how to let the peace of God rule in your heart. That's why he put those two things. God's really smart. That's why he put those two things together. Okay, so then how do we let the peace of God rule in our hearts? Okay, number one, Romans 5 and verse 1. Turn over there very quickly, please. Romans 5 and verse number 1. We're going to go to several passages of scriptures, and I need you to follow me now and follow the verses of scripture, please, if you would. Romans 5 and verse number 1. To let the peace. And the wonderful thing about it is the Bible doesn't say go get it. Go find it. It says, just let it be. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts by letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So you go to the word of God, then you'll find out how to let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's the point here. Then you go to Romans 5 and verse 1. Well, to let the peace of God rule in your heart. Number one, you must have peace with God. That's first of all. Now do pass this point. You cannot pass this point and get to the peace you need in your heart. You can't have peace in your heart until you have peace with your God. Not a God either, friend. The God of heaven. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God who stepped out onto nothing and spoke all the worlds into existence. The God who wrote this book and authored it for us and kept it and preserved it and kept it for us to have it. You've got to have peace with God first. That's before the peace of God in your hearts. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, the Bible says, we have peace with God. Now notice the wording. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not through Buddha, not through Allah, not through Muhammad. You're going to have to get it through Jesus. But key is, therefore, being justified by faith. That's the step to peace with God. Justified by faith. Ladies and gentlemen, justification is a legal term that means not guilty. Theologically, justification means the act whereby God declares you as righteous in his sight. That's justification. That justification, the Bible says, comes by faith and through Jesus Christ. All in Romans 5:1. See it? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing. It's very important. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I must understand something. We cannot settle for peace with God just on our terms and for ourselves. I know a lot of people are at peace with God. They are at peace with God. Why do you think there are so many religions and false religions? But people very content with what they do. Do you know why? Because they're at peace with that. Problem with it is this. See, peace requires two sides to have peace. We have a presidential candidate who thinks if you talk to terrorists, we'll have peace with terrorists. Yeah, that's cute. sweet pea. That's really cute. But the problem is this. You can bow down and kiss their toes, but if they don't want to have peace with you, you don't get to have peace. Because if there's no peace from their side, you don't have peace. It doesn't work like that. Peace requires, there are two sides to peace. And when it comes to peace with God, there's two sides to peace. Your side, God's side. Guess which side is most important? God's side, not mine. If I settle with being, I'm at peace with this, I'm at peace with what I have. These New Testaments we have sent out, we've had some people, and most people have been kind and respectful, even in their disagreement or dislike of getting in a New Testament. But some of them have written back and say, I'm at peace with what I have. I understand that. Problem is, peace with God doesn't mean you're at peace. It means God's at peace first. You're at peace because God's at peace with you. That's why it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. God's side of peace is important. It's first, and you have to have that to have peace with God. God made peace with us in one way, because of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why it's therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I've made peace with God. I'm at peace with God in my own way. Cute, precious. Problem is, God's not at peace with that. Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible says, God in the Old Testament prophecy would look down on the suffering of his Son and be pleased with what he would see Jesus do on the cross. He accepted it. And that's the only thing God would accept in substitution for your sin and mine, what Jesus did on the cross. When God saw Jesus make the payment for our sin, God looked down and God said, peace, I make peace. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says, he, Jesus, is our peace. God would only accept the payment Christ would make. Ephesians chapter, let me read it to you. I don't want to ask you to turn to it. I'll just read you the passage if I may. Just hold your place right there. Ephesians chapter 2, and listen to the verse now. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in the ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one two man, so making peace, that he, this is Jesus, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. You know when Jesus died on the cross, remember, and he cried out, it is finished. And the Bible says in the temple, that veil that separated the holy place from the holy of holies, where only the high priest could go once a year with the blood of the lamb. That veil that separated that place where man could go and only one could go once a year. That veil was torn from the top. It's very important how the Bible words it. From the top to the bottom. God reached down from heaven and said, no more veil. And he ripped it. He said, now everybody can come because the real Lamb of God has come. Christ has died. Jesus has made the payment. His blood was shed. Jesus died in our place. And Jesus is our peace. So you don't have peace with God till you come to God through Christ. Otherwise, there's no peace on his side. So I don't care how you feel this morning. I don't care how you mustered up this morning. I don't care how much incense you burned this morning. I don't care how content with philosophy you are this morning. It doesn't matter whether you got baptized. It doesn't matter whether or not you live a good life. It doesn't matter whether or not you have a contented heart. My friend, if there's no peace with God on his side, we're in trouble. And being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can't let the peace of God rule in your hearts till there's peace with God on his side of this thing. It starts with God first. So you see why this morning you're trying to earn something Jesus paid for. God's not at peace with that. Yeah, but I'm trying to do good works. I mean, good work. You look at me. Jesus said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done mighty works in your name and cast out devils in your name and prophesied in your name? And what does the Bible say happens? Jesus said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Because see, there was no peace on God's side. So don't settle for contentment in your heart. Don't settle for peace with God on your terms. You better settle for peace with God on his terms. And you cannot let the peace of God rule in your heart until there's salvation. Salvation comes when you as a sinner turn to Jesus Christ as the Savior and trust His payment and accept Him to save you. Then there's peace with God on His side. And now there's peace with God on your side on God's terms, not ours. That's why nobody's church can save you. You got a church you have to go to save you? You got the wrong church. Wrong church, friend. They're trying to put a religion between you and God. Jesus is the mediator between God. One mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. It's got to be through Christ. Look here. You take Christ or you wind up in hell. Because God has already made peace through Jesus. You got to come through Jesus to find the peace with God. Peace with God. How do you let the peace of God rule in your hearts? You have to have peace with God first. Then go to Philippians chapter 4 very quickly now. There's other steps involved here, but the peace with God thing, that's first. Well, I'm going to keep trying it on my own, Pastor Johnson. Well, that's why you look so happy this morning, because you keep trying it on your own. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Looks right to me. Yeah, I know that. I stood there and looked at that last piece of German chocolate cake before with that nougat frosting on it. Isn't that sweet German chocolate cake? And when it's cold, it's even better. I don't know why it's that way. Wrapped in cellophane, in the refrigerator. And it's, you know, about the size of your foot. And you're thinking, well, just take a bite. What's the point of that? You're going to take a bite, eat the whole thing. Then you start justifying it. What if Jesus comes back? It's just going to rot in the tribulation. What if I die tonight? I won't get any German chocolate cake in heaven. I might as well go ahead and eat it now. You ever justify yourself? Sure. Seemed good at the time. Then go to the gym and sweat like a pig. What's the point of it all? But the truth of the matter is, dear people, we got to have peace with God on His terms. Philippians 4 and 6. You have to have peace with God. Then you have to have the peace of God. And this comes here. Now watch Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing. Nick that word careful if you're like me and a heathen who writes in your Bible, write the word worry. Be worrying for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7, people look here, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Once you get peace with God, friend, you know it's very easy for a child of God to not have peace in their hearts. And do you know why? Because of our worry principle. Now, we call it righteous concern, deep meditative thought about the concerns of my life. It's worrying, isn't it? How many of you do not worry about anything? You never worry. You don't have a worry problem. Raise your little fat hand up in the air like that. There's two. There's three. God bless you. There's four. Good. There's five wonderful Christians, tremendous. Now I'll put my hand down. There's only four people in this room who get to go to heaven. The rest of us are not going to get there because we don't worry about anything. Because we worry about stuff, don't we? And when you worry, it robs you of the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Now the principle, yeah, see, I know what he's going to say now. He's going to say, you got to pray about stuff instead of worrying. See, that's why you don't have any peace in your heart. Because you really don't think that prayer principle is the actual effective principle. But now listen carefully. See, what this is here is this. Instead of worry, pray thing, what that principle says is this. You have the faith to believe that God could actually do better than you could. Because face it, friend, worry never changed anything except you. And not for the better, huh? Well, after a while, it just breaks you, doesn't it? Robs you of your sleep. Robs you of your peace. That's not, well, you don't understand what I'm facing, Pastor Johnson. And you don't know what's in my cart this morning either. But the truth of the matter is, when we worry instead of pray, what we're really saying is, I mean, I believe in that prayer stuff, but frankly, it's really not going to work in this case because it's better for me just to worry about things. The Bible says when you pray instead of worry, God replaces worry with peace. And then the peace of God that passeth all understandings, watch, shall keep your hearts and minds through. Keep means to guard and protect your heart and your mind. So what do you do when you worry? I pray. Prayer is more effective anyway. Lady came to her pastor one day. She said, preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do. I worry all the time. What do I do about it? He goes, you get your shoebox, put the lid on top of it, cut a hole in the top of it, get you a pad of paper and a pen. Walk around with that shoebox and that hole Like that with that pad and that paper. And every time during the day, you start thinking about something you're going to worry about, you write it down, fold it over, and put it in that shoebox. And at 4 o'clock, you sit down, open that shoebox, and it'll take all that stuff out and just spend 4 to 5 o'clock and worry about it. No other time. So she did that. What she found interesting enough was this. After the first day, she found that 80% of what she thought she had to worry about wasn't worth worrying about anyway. And the other 20% was going to happen to whether she worried about it or not. So there wasn't any point in worrying whatsoever. Now, I know that's easy preaching and harder on the practicing. But the principle isn't, can you give up your worry? The principle is, can you afford to give up the peace of God? Would you rather have worry or peace? I mean, come on, I don't think that's that's like a no-brainer, right? That's why we all got flat foreheads. Duh. I mean, think about it. That's really the answer here. You're going to let the peace of God rule in your hearts? You have to have faith that there's a God big enough to answer your prayers and really do something about it. Well, I asked him once, in everything by prayer and thanksgiving with supplication. Those principles are asking, keep on asking. The more you have things to worry about, the greater your prayer life should be. We ought to be prayer giants with the stuff that we got going on in our lives, yes? But instead of that, we're worry giants. We're worry midgets is what we are. And we have no peace. But if we do, then the Bible says, then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You have to have peace with God. Then you have to have the peace of God. Now go down a few more verses because there's one more thing to let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And it's right here in Philippians 4. Look at verse 9. Philippians 4 and verse 9. Look at the verse. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Two-letter word after the word me is what, please? Oh, let's say it one more time. What's that word? Oh, and then what happens? Then you have the God of peace. Now, the peace of God, peace with God, there's no comparison to this. The peace of God, that's fantastic, but the God of peace is even better because now that's his person in your life. That's the presence of God there. Boy, how do you secure the God of peace in your life, Pastor Johnson? That two-letter word right there in verse 9, do. That doesn't mean go out and get busy and just do a bunch of stuff. Come on, folks, you know, sell Girl Scout cookies and stand on the street corner and, you know, hold a sign up for peace and all that kind of stuff. You know, I don't mean do that. I mean go out and start coaching soccer. He said, those things that ye have both, look at the verse, both learned, received, and heard, and seen in me, do that. Paul said, what I showed you from the Bible, do that. When you do that, God, the God of peace himself comes to be with you. Come on, when you had nightmares when you were a child, where did you really want to be? You want to be in there close to your parents. You want to snuggle up next to your dad in the nighttime because the booger man can't get you in there. There's no way. I don't care how many covers you put over your head. If you had your little secret blanket all your life as a child and you're 14 years old, that still wouldn't work. You know where you needed to be. You need to be close to your dad because there was something about his presence that you knew would dispel any fear you had in your life. But something about the presence of the heavenly Father that brings the God of peace in your life. Well, I need that. Then do what you're supposed to do. Look, we neglect the things of God. We neglect the things of the Word of God, and we wonder why God's not there. God didn't move. You did. You backed up. You backed off. You're going to do it your way instead of God's way, and there's no God of peace. That's your fault, not his. He said, if those things you have both heard and seen and received and learned and seen in me, do it. Come on, Christian. It's really basic. If you have peace with God because you're saved, you can have the peace of God because you have faith that God can take care of things. That's why you pray about it. And then you do what he tells you to do. You've got the God of peace. And guess what happens? You're going to let the peace of God rule in your hearts because you have the source. You have the person. You got the package. You look at these athletes that have all this amazing ability. And the comment they use about an athlete that's a complete athlete is, he or she has the package. They have all the abilities together. You have the package of the the peace of God ruling in your heart. When you have God's peace, you have peace with God. You have the peace of God, and you have the God of peace. He can then rule in your heart. See, that's why he just said in the Bible, let it, just let it be, Christian. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning. Now, come on, friend. So I don't like the way you made fun of my disposition, Pastor Johnson. Too bad. You know, somebody needs to probably slap you upside the coconut to wake you up. But I'm not mad at you, friend. I'm just trying to help you with something. If what you got ain't working, how long are you going to keep working it? Seriously. You know how long I stayed with transcendental meditation? About 2 days. I got enough rest and I quit. Do you know why? Didn't work. Fool around with these other religions inside the Christian movement. A lot of show, a lot of stuff. And I thought, yeah. Like the old Indian chief went to the revival meeting one time. Preacher got up and preached, and they asked the chief, how was the preaching? He said, much cloud, big wind, no rain. Yeah. I thought, yeah, well, I've been there too. So how long are we going to keep working this thing? Or how long are we going to, before we turn and say, okay, first thing you need is peace with God. And it needs to be peace with God. With God at peace with you first. Because of Christ and your payment, you're trusting Christ's payment for your salvation. Till then, you do not have peace with God. I don't care how you feel or how content you are in it. There's enmity between you and God. Jesus paid the price, friend.